Let's open up then, you guys, this morning. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for the gospel message that's been preached through so many people, through Billy and through others, but how it affects people's lives when they hear the word of truth and you open their eyes to that. And it's that's really what we're kind of talking about right now as we talk about regeneration and how we're saved and that miracle of how you come into our lives and you wake us up and you give us new life when we hear that wonderful message of the gospel. So we pray for this morning, Lord, that you continue to give us clarity in this and an understanding of just really what you've done for us. That's really what it's about. It's what you're doing, and then we get to know. So thank you so much, and lead this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I was sitting there thinking this. I'm getting ready to finish this up. I'm going, you know, nobody needs to know that's all this about salvation for salvation. But it's good to know what God's done for us. I mean, you don't need to know all these four things that we're going. I mean, to know them to have salvation. Somebody brought that up. I was listening to something last week, and I went, no, people don't need to know that. I mean, it's good that we understand it, but it's not how we're saved. It's how we're saved, but you know what I'm saying? If you don't know what I'm saying, just trust me on it, okay? anyway, what's that? Yeah, it's faith, but we're seeing how God works in our lives and how he saves us. And it's through that process of he regenerates us, and then he makes us alive, and then we respond in faith and repentance, and then we're justified and we're made righteous in God's eyes. And they take place like that. And then there's this process like we talked about last Sunday, is sanctification, how God works in our lives, and we work with him on that. We respond back, and we grow in our faith. We grow in our likeness to Christ. And so this week, we are going to talk about glorification, and in our in our statement of faith, I don't have it with me, so I'll read it. Glorification is the culmination of salvation and is the final and blessed and abiding state of the redeemed. I think I got a bigger one than that. How about this definition? Glorification is the final is the final step in the application of redemption. It will happen when Christ returns and raises from the dead the bodies of all the believers for all time who have died and reunites them with their souls and changes the bodies of all believers who remain alive, thereby giving all believers at the same time perfect resurrection bodies like his own. That's our statement of faith. That was Wayne Grudem. But it's clear. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. So, what's the New Testament evidence New Testament evidence for glorification? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we'll start right there. And I'm going to skim, I got five verses here. And then I want to look at Old Testament support for glorification. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23 through 25. How do we know we'll be made alive again? And what's our redemption? And what's that mean? First, we'll go to verse 22. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own turn. Christ, the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. All right? So, anybody catch all that? I was reading something in here, though. And Jason, you might want to help me on this one. But each in his own turn, it says in verse 23. The first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Okay, so everybody is going to be made resurrected, right? Is that what there is being alluded to in here? Everyone, but then those who are separated out or who are in Christ will be resurrected too. All right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're just going to go through these five. I think the Old Testament ones are more exciting, but they should all be exciting. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with him, Jesus, those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own words, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So in our redemption and our glorification, we will be redeemed and given new bodies. That's what we continue reading here, is the hope that we're going to have new bodies. And we'll actually talk about what kind of bodies those will be eventually. But we will be made, we're made alive right now spiritually. But we're going to be given glorified bodies and brought to completion. John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. So there we know that there will be a resurrection. I've actually talked to people, and they really don't. They don't believe there's going to be a resurrection at all. The Sanhedrins didn't believe that either. But they don't. They just go, no.
Christian?
No. I've talked to some Christians who believe in that some will be annihilated, but no. Heck, the Christian faith's all about is redemption. You know, that's why we have faith. Two more. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 through 21. So we're getting enough proof here that we will be resurrected. Question is, what's all that glorification? What takes place there? Chapter 3, 20 through 21. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Now we're getting the other verses that are going to allude to what we are going to be like and what's going to happen. So it says we will be transformed from our lowly bodies, our natural state, into our glorified bodies. And the last one's Romans 8:11. And if the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. The Holy Spirit that's been deposited to us. You know what's interesting? If you go back to Ephesians, and holding on there in Romans, if you go to Ephesians, or actually don't go back, go forward. Ephesians chapter 1. We'll start in verse 13. It says, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." Well, Paul just says the same thing. Well, he said that in Ephesians. But here is what he's saying is the Holy Spirit's our seal. It's a deposit, the Holy Spirit in our lives for our inheritance to come. Hey. So what he says here in verse 11, I'm going back to that. And if the dead of him who raised Jesus, and if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. So we know that Holy Spirit that's living inside of us is a deposit, so to speak, as it says in Ephesians, guaranteeing us our inheritance and our future redemption. Yes?
We talk about the spirit and our spirit in
God, but there's a lot of emphasis on the actual physical body. And so when we're glorified, I just wonder, is it going to be when I was 19 or now that I'm older than that?
Let's hope so.
Could you imagine being glorified in this state? I don't know. When I get to like section three, what will our resurrection bodies be like, which I know we'll get to easily, we're going to kind of look at that. But you know, another thing, I've talked about this before, but in Genesis, you know, he took Adam and Eve out of the garden so they would not eat of the tree of life, so that they would not live eternally in the sinful state. So if they had, or, if, you know, just thinking this, we would be in this sinful state dying eternally. I mean, I saw Billy Graham. I mean, we all get old. But, man, I'm going, Billy, you're looking pretty old compared to back when you were 40s, you know, and you're looking pretty hard. But that's what we'd be in a continual state like that. Could you imagine living eternally like that? You're dying. Eventually, you'd turn into dust. I don't know. I can't picture. I mean, I just think it's interesting. But we're not. We're getting glorified. And that's the great thing about it. And it says we're going to be some raised to life and some raised to shame. And then those who are raised to shame are going to die eternally in their sins. I don't know how that goes, but they are being resurrected again. All right, anything what the New Testament says about that we will be raised again, that we will be raised in glorified bodies, and the promise is there that, like it says in Thessalonians there, that we'll be transformed. That means changed. So we will be changed, yeah. No, that's a scary thing about it. In that one passage, I thought it kind of alluded to everybody gets raised up and some sorted out. But the thing is, it does say that everyone will be resurrected again. There's no annihilation. They will die in their sins. I think it's in John somewhere where he says they will die in their sins. Can you imagine dying in your sins? Unforgiven sins with God's face turned away from you. So, I mean, we have such a great promise. And when it says glorification, I mean, we really are. We're going to be redeemed into bodies that have no desire to sin no longer. And transformed. How's Hawaii? I was looking for a tan. People like that are so arrogant. They come in like that, and I didn't mean to single you out there, but you were late. So, okay. So you know, the New Testament tells us about our redemption that's through Christ and our glorification. Our bodies are going to be transformed. Paul talks about it. The writers talk about it. But what does the Old Testament say? Because they didn't have Christ. They knew there was going to be a Messiah. They knew, but they didn't understand, I don't think, the redemption process like we do. In fact, I know they didn't. But we can start with Job chapter 19, where, let's just turn there. We got plenty of time to go look at all these today. Job chapter 19. Job chapter 19. You know, Job, he goes, starting at 25, I know that my Redeemer lives and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. That's kind of an amazing statement for a guy to make back then. I mean, he had some knowledge that there he was going to be redeemed. Because he calls him his Redeemer. And he said he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, and I not another. It's interesting. I in my flesh will see God. So in the Old Testament saints, Job says this in Daniel chapter 12. Verse 2. it's kind of, these are actually alluded to in the New Testament, just what he's saying here. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. I was talking to a guy yesterday, a Christian guy, and he was talking about the annihilation, and that's what he believed. And I'm going, I read so much of this where it says everlasting contempt. They're going to die. Everlasting contempt. I don't know where you can cut. I know where they get their idea for annihilation. But it's too obvious in the scriptures that there's an eternal annihilation. Not eternal. There's an eternal contempt. They're dying continually. That's what we see. Because that's what Daniel brings it up right here. We'll go back to that verse again. 12. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake. Some to everlasting life. Others to shame and everlasting contempt. That's a scary thought. Again, like we were talking about. Everlasting contempt. But others to everlasting life. We really do. We're a strange group of people, and it's an honor. God's picked us out to live eternally in glorified bodies. Isaiah 26:19. As I prophesy, he says, but your dead will live, their bodies will rise. You who dwell in the dust, wake up and shout for joy. Your dew is like the dew of the morning. The earth will give birth to her dead. There will be a resurrection. I wonder when they heard those things or what they thought, though. Like I said, we have Christ. We get to look back. But like Job sitting there going, I know my Redeemer lives. How in the world was he going to be redeemed again? But they trusted God. They did. Here's a couple interesting ones. Acts chapter 24. I mean, this is New Testament, but it's actually Old Testament because they're making remarks. Acts 24:14-15, he's in that trial before Festus, and Paul makes a declaration to him. Verse 14-15. Oh, I'm in 25. I'm going, that's not even right. Okay. This is Paul talking to Festus. However, I admit that I worship the God of our fathers as a follower of the way, which they call a sect. I believe everything that agrees with the law and that is written in the prophets. And I have the same hope in God as these men. There will be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. So I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God, man. That's Paul making a declaration I'm just like these men. I believe there's going to be a resurrection. And there's going to be a resurrection, and it's going to be of both the righteous and the wicked. One more. Hebrews 11. And basically, you know, what we're scanning through this morning is how Old Testament saints had a hope of redemption. And I don't know about the understanding of glorification either, but how we can use the Old Testament. And when you look at the New Testament, they all always had hope. Always had hope there was a redemption to come. Hebrews 11, the great chapter of faith. All these people, as he just went down listening to some people and what they'd done and how they died. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country and they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. They knew there was something to come. That's by faith, that's why they were living the way they did. That's why they That's why they had these. That's why they're proclaimed for their faith, because they trusted God. I tell you what, that faith is a little bit different than my faith, you know. So, well, how about, what was it, Lazarus? When Lazarus died, didn't Martha sit there and say, I know that he'll be resurrected again? He's talking about Lazarus. Yeah. So she had an understanding too. That was before Jesus was even on the cross. So, any questions on the Old Testament and New Testament? Yeah, Chuck. It's just the completed event of the salvation process, but in a new body, yes. Yeah, so that would be the completion. I guess this. Yes, Sam?
But he's saying, like, the wicked and the righteous are both resurrected, but they're not both glorified. So glorification and resurrection are not the same.
No, but everyone's resurrected, and we're given redeemed bodies. They're given. You know what? Because there's a lot of dead people that have probably turned to dust already. So I'm going to have to use an assumption that would probably be wise. But even those who are raised in the dust, who are in the dust, if they're not with any faith, they're going to be resurrected again in their bodily form, to die. They're dying in their sins, is what we read. What's that?
That's not glorification.
No, but glorification is when we're redeemed from what we have, because we are going to be who we are. I mean, you're who you are, but we're going to be in our redeemed status. We're not going to be new creatures, I mean, with new names and new titles. So we have that same identity that we have right now, yeah.
So for believers, resurrection equals instant glorification.
Yeah, it's right now.
For unbelievers, resurrection means an eternity of corruption. They still have a physical body, but it's not glorified.
Yeah, I don't know if this is the right way. They're dying in their sins right now, at present. They're going to be judged for their sins. And now paying the price for it is continually dying in their sins. What's the result of that? What's dying? I mean, you're alive and dying? I mean, put them together. I don't know. But it's a horrible thought to even think of. What's that?
It's everlasting
death. Yeah, it has to be, because everlasting life is the opposite. Yeah, Ellis.
So how does that go with the actual courtroom judge kind of picture we get in Revelation and some other places? Like, are we glorified before? Before we come before the throne, or once we come before the throne and God says you're good, then we're glorified.
I love you guys. I love you guys. I always try to throw these little things. Is it? I got an answer for you, but I'm gonna let Paul do it for me. Stop. I can still hear pretty good. Where those he justified, he glorified. Where's that at? Is that 8 or 3?
8.
8. 8:30. Yeah. Yeah. I'll answer it after we read it. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. So their glory is a present. I couldn't answer that, but we are glorified. Our glorification, our bodies, is at a later date. But we already are in the process of glorification. Talking about people in the past? Are glorified?
Well, I think, isn't it just talking since God predestined us before the
It's a done deal. I love that word, technically. This generation loves that word, technical. So yeah, oh, technically.
Hold on.
But the glorification is, and it's because of Christ. We everything we have is because of Him. We're in Him. But it's a promise. So we are glorified. And I know I will receive a glorified body.
So we're in the justification stage.
We're justified. If there's no real.
No, I mean, we're in.
You're right. We're right before God's eyes. We're
glorified.
Yes, but it's a promise of to. Yes, it will happen. We are. But we're all, is that really hard to say? It's, we're glorified, I just don't have it yet. Yeah. Huh?
But how are we glorified?
It's a promise.
It's like
I've got an inheritance to come. I got $1 million. I don't get it. I don't get it until that time, but it's mine. It's going to be mine. We're glorified. I just don't have it yet. But I'm promised. It's not like I'm waiting, I'm going, it's still part, I have to do something to get this glorification.
But it's already in your
bank. It's already there, I guess. I love using analogies, sometimes they work, sometimes they don't, I don't know.
And we don't always understand all that, because it's just like what Job said, I know my Redeemer lives. And so like,
yeah, he knows he's going to be redeemed, but...
But it hadn't been, it hadn't happened yet.
What you got, Jason?
Mm-hmm.
When he appears, we shall be like him. Well, that's because she's very humble. That's good. But that was down on my list of things here. But I know. I know what we're trying to do, but it's a promise. It's done. It's here. Ryan, did you have your hand up?
Yeah.
Oh, thanks. Good. That's our job. What will our resurrection bodies be like? Let's go to 1 Corinthians. We're going to hang here for a second. 15. We'll work off of it. First Corinthians 15, 42 through 50. I'll wait till everybody's there because we got to. 1 Corinthians 15, 42 through 50. I know I talk fast sometimes and then my letters and numbers and everything else get all blurred. So there you go. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth, the second man from heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. As is the man from heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have been born the likeness of the earthly man, so we shall bear the likeness of the man from heaven. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does perishable inherit the imperishable. So, with the imperishable, we're promised that we won't wear out, grow old, or sick. And there will be no more signs of aging, all these kind of things. Imperishable. These are promises that we hold on. That's our glorified body. No more aging. I don't know what we're going to be like. People will go, well, what age are we going to be? Well, I don't know. Are we going to have to be an age? I mean, all it says is we're going to have a glorified body. It won't grow old. It won't be sick. It won't wear out and have, you know. And it just won't have no signs of aging. It's just Do the imagination yourself, you know. I do my own. So it says it's raised in glory. Let me see here. The body that's sown is perishable is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. So when we contrast that with dishonor, it suggests that there's an appearance of beauty or attractiveness that our bodies will have. If it's sown in dishonor, then it's going to be sown in glory. So there's going to be something physically attractive or so, and just powerful about it. It's these bodies, just the appearance. They're just, it won't be ugly, if I can use the word. You know what I mean? Broken down, scarred up, how it is in our present state. It'll be repaired. I got a verse on this. I tried to work with it. Matthew chapter 13. Because they go, well, what's it mean to, if it's sown in dishonor, what's it really mean to be in glory? Matthew 13. Chapter 13, verse 40. He uses this parable, and it's kind of finishing up with it. As the weeds are pulled up and burned up in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out his kingdom, everything that causes sin, and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. And I'm kind of going, how do you make something out of that? But they will shine like, there's something about our appearance that's going to be, to shine like the sun? I don't think it's going to have like that, just how the sun glows. But that's what he's using as for imagery. These bodies are really going to, there's something about our redeemed bodies that is going to be, it's attractive. It's and not in that other sense, but I mean, just complete. I'm trying to come up with a word and I can't, so I won't. But you know what I'm saying? That's what we're looking forward to, you know, especially as you get older. You feel it, you know, and you go, it'd be nice to have some redemption. Not right now. I'm in the middle of Sunday school class, but hey, you know. powerful. That was the next thing he says. So it will be raised. So it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. And it's not like God's infinite power, but I mean, what we were made to really be, what humans were really made to be, powerful. We will have physical properties and things we'll be able to do that we never had before for God's purpose, and it's for God's glory. Everything will be, but our bodies will be able to do things we've never done before. You think the Olympics have got what's going on there? You know, those guys that do those things, we're talking about honed bodies, you know, glorified honed bodies. Some of those jumps those guys do on the snowboards, I'm going, man, see, we'll be able to do that if you really want to. I'd like to.
There won't be any snow or cold.
Yes, there will. If you want snow, you can go up north. There'll be snow up north. north. Okay, you guys, quit warping scripture. Okay, we're going to try to stay on here. All right, the last thing I thought. So the body, it will be, the body that is sown is perishable. I mean, hold on. With the resurrection of the dead, the body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. We really have weaknesses, and it's just going to be amazing, okay? It is... It is raised, it is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Now, this is what causes confusion, people. They go, so we're going to have this non-physical, unfleshed body, because that's what Paul's saying right here. And that's not what he's saying at all. I did some work on this one here. And the spiritual body, we will have non-physical bodies. That's what the statement is. But you have to contrast this with a natural body. Paul says, we have a natural body right now. The spiritual body is subject to the will of the Holy Spirit and responsive to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I got that from the Moody Bible Commentary. But I think it's a true statement. Right now, it says that we're going to have bodies that are going to be controlled, led by the Holy Spirit, much as we are right now. And under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, in our eternal state, we're being led by the Holy Spirit. We're being guided by the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? And so our spiritual body, that's what we're talking about. Not some ethereal little floating around thing. No, it's going to be a physical body led by the Holy Spirit, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And it's when we're cool with that. That's what we're looking forward to. John, 1 John 3:2, when he appears, we shall be just like him. Well, what was he like? Well, if you go through the scriptures, you'll see that when the resurrected Christ had a physical body, he was down there at the lake eating fish with them one day. He was talking with them inside locked doors one time to Thomas. And the question was how he got in there, because it says the doors were locked. That was mentioned in scripture for a purpose, because he entered that. So he was actually, but he was physical, because he said, touch my hands, look at him. But he still, somehow, he was able to get in there. So we see this resurrected body that's just a little bit different. I don't understand it, but we see things. I know it says when on that road to Emmaus that they were talking to him and they didn't know who he was and their eyes were open to him. But I don't know how that works either. But he had an appearance that they knew, and then for a while they didn't. But the thing is, he had a physical appearance, and it says in 1 John 3:2 that when we will be like, when he appears, we shall be just like him. So what about that passage that says flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God? That would be our present bodies. It's very simple. When it says that back in 1 Corinthians, where we read that, and it says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. I've talked to people about this, and they say, this is proof. And I go, no, it isn't. I think it's a real clear statement, flesh and blood. This cannot enter the kingdom of God. Not as it is, not one iota. The spirit can, not the flesh. And it won't enter the kingdom of God. But our spiritual bodies, I'm assuming, will have flesh and blood. That's just me making a statement. Romans 8:18-25, we can read it, but it says that the earth will be renewed and made new for us to live in it with physical bodies. That's what Paul's talking about there. If we're going to have a new heavens and a new earth, how can they be inhabited by spiritual bodies floating around? Or not even having any kind, or just being spirit, you know. There's new heavens and a new earth for his redeemed. Redeemed is what it means. A redeemed body is a body that's been recycled, so to speak, to the good. If I can use that. People are concerned about people getting cremated, and they go, well, how can God resurrect a cremated body? The same way he resurrects a body that's been in the earth and turned to dust. He will. Our bodies will be transformed. And he will do that. People will be able to recognize and know one another in heaven. And I'm going, I believe that. I just don't know. I have no scriptural proof. But then I was doing some reading, and I go, well, how did they know that was Moses and Elijah at the Mount of Transformation? Because they'd never met him in their life. But he makes Peter says that. I'd like to make some tense. There was another passage. Did I write that one down? Was it Matthew 8:11? I mean, it's not like they know him like I knew him before. I was talking to him, but they know who they are. I thought that was a good answer. Yeah. When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those who were following him, I tell you the truth. I'm in verse 10, I'm sorry, of Matthew 8. I tell you the truth. I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He identifies who they are. You guys, many will come and they'll sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's telling them because that's who they are. They will be Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will be there, just like Cherry, Rick, and everybody else. They'll be there. And so that's because it's by name. It's who we are. And we'll know them. We know who they are. I guess we'll greet them and start to get to know them from that way because they don't know us either. So, hey. Is that cool? You know what I'm saying? We have our own identity. That's big. God made us. And is who we are. And we have our own identity. And our personalities. I'm sorry, like that. The entire creation will be renewed. I kind of covered that. And then the unbelieving dead, I'll finish up with this one. The unbelieving dead will be raised from the for judgment on the day of our final judgment. And John chapter 5, and we already did that, let's just kind of go there. And this is why we spread the gospel. This is why we tell people. That's a scary thought again. We've talked about it, you know. But our friends, that my neighbors, I drove by my neighbor's house, I go, she'll spend eternity in hell. She's turned me down and stuff. But, I mean, we've shared the gospel with her. But I'm just going, man, is this eternal death? And I think about that when I meet with people. If they don't know the Lord, this is their destiny. We sit there and praise about our glorification. It's going to happen. But we're talking about those who don't know him. Chapter 5, verses 28 through 29. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice. All who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good, you know what? They can't even resist it. They can't say, I don't want him. They will come out and they will stand before him. All who have come out will come out. Those who have done good will rise to live. And those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me, Jesus speaking here. All who, they're to be condemned. There's no like, hey man, can we work this out? Because we talk about our righteousness. It's imputed to us. I stand before God right now, righteous and in good standing, so to speak. There's no good standing. They're standing before a just God, and they're answering, and they're dying in their sins, and they will continue to die under a judgment, their sins not covered or paid for. That's scary. That's why we tell our friends. That's why I look at somebody and I get a conversation going. If I can, I try to get that baby. Don't get like a religious zealot or nothing, but you know, hey, ask them questions, get them going. That's their destiny, you guys. This is our destiny, and we can praise God for it. I mean, redeemed bodies, we know that it's going to be something that's amazingly awesome. And they have nothing. They have nothing but an eternity of death. No annihilation, but it's eternity. It's death. So, Rick, any questions, you guys? Yeah, good job. I know. Yeah, you have to take the whole Bible as a whole on that one. Then you work some other things in there. Yeah, you have to show them other scriptures. That's why I really don't use that one a lot when I'm talking to people. Hey, you're condemned, and this is why. And they're going, well, I'll just be a good person then. But before all that, huh? Yeah? Yeah. Well, we still have to be redeemed. And so that's where we bring them. So those are the passages. You don't just jump to that one real quick. You know, you work that one. Anything else? We can... You guys want to stop? Or? No more questions. Everybody's cool about being redeemed. Anybody not redeemed out there this morning? If you're not, you've had the scriptures read to you. You've had the truth read to you. You can't sit there and stand before God and say, I didn't know. No? You heard it? Just like those people who heard Billy Graham. You can think what you want about Billy Graham, but he told the truth. You know, and they heard, they responded, they had a chance to respond, they were hearing. So let's close up then. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the truth, and you know, there's no secrets. There's sometimes we don't know all the depth of everything, but there's no secrets. We know that we will be glorified, and we praise you for that, Lord, as a lot of us live in bodies that are hurting, and we thank you so much for the promises. This is what it was about, is mankind needed to be redeemed. And you started that process the moment of the fall of mankind being redeemed again. And your promises hold true. And I pray that you would work in the hearts of everyone here. If there's no one here that trusts trust in that redemption process that comes through Jesus Christ. I pray their eyes to be open to it. But for those who have, we praise you right now, Lord, that we would grow and continually thank you for what you've done in our lives, that moment of salvation that you granted each and every one of us, that we would continue in this process of sanctification, thanking you as we wait for this glorification that was promised. And we praise you for Christ who did all these things for us. Not one thing have we done. We praise you for everything he's done. In Christ's name, amen.